As always on Mondays, Brent Beard, college football analyst for First Coast News and co-host of the SEC and Helping Podcast, joining the show. A pleasure as always. Brent, hopefully your weekend was a good one. How are things going?
Well, the great thing is we're getting closer and closer to college football. We will begin to have some scrimmages this weekend, Saturday, or around there. Should probably be the first one. And then we'll have the second one. That pretty well sets the depth chart for all the teams. So all in all, we are getting closer and closer, particularly to week zero.
Yeah, we are only a few weeks away. Is there anything that you look for, Brent, whether it be with the Florida Gators or whoever, with these scrimmages? Obviously, you know, the goal is to have everybody come in and get some reps and not have any injuries. But there's also some battles that we've got going on, you know, LSU and some other schools with the quarterback battles. Is there anything you're looking for to come out of those scrimmages here over the next couple of weeks?
I mean, you've got to wonder who is going to be your quarterback situation. Frankly, that's going to be fascinating, I believe, to see where that is going. I mean, of course, a lot of teams obviously have got going ahead and had theirs decided. I mean, for instance, Arkansas, we know KJ Jefferson's going to be the quarterback, but Raheem Sanders, their sophomore, is listed as number one running back right now. So that's really been fun for them. TJ Finley, it didn't quite help himself. When he got arrested, charged with attempting to elude the police. Now, that's a drop in the bucket. He'll still be maybe your number one quarterback there too. But at the same time, players just have got to understand what they're dealing with at times like that, and I frankly don't think they do, Drew, when they get in trouble like that. So an immense amount of battles going on that will be a lot of fun to see how that works out, and many of them may not get worked out in camp.
And I want to go back to Auburn real quick too, because if I remember correctly, obviously with that battle going on, I think Brian Harsin was asked about if he could envision himself using two quarterbacks. And I think he suggested that, you know what, yeah, I would be comfortable using two quarterbacks, whether it be TJ Finley and Zach Calzada or whoever it may be. But to me, that strategy of doing that, it doesn't seem to succeed in college football nearly as much as it used to, where you could plug a guy in here and it works out and then plug another guy in here, because the getting those consistent reps and having a quarterback who knows that they're the guy regardless, I think helps their confidence a little bit more than knowing, okay, I got to go out and I got to play well, otherwise I'm going to get pulled for a drive or two so then somebody else can come in, and it doesn't create that cohesive of an environment, at least it seems like to me.
Well, the situation with the SEC is you've got to have a quality backup in order to come in, because of how physical the league is. And I mean, Auburn's got that. Auburn only will have just one, but they'll have up to three of them that goes. And Robbie Ashburn, the kid from Oregon, could see a little bit of time going on too. But I don't think you go get Zach Calzada from A&M if you're not going to start him. So I think that's the other issue that you've got with that, where who knows how it'll come out, but still, they've got to lean heavily on the running backs, particularly we tank Bigsby this year.
They absolutely do. And then other quarterback rooms, too, where you mentioned like the depth. LSU's got a lot of guys that have experience. You've got Texas A&M, who has got some guys who they all could play in. Jimbo Fisher has said that he's been pleased with those guys throughout, you know, the spring and the summer as well. I want to get to some of the matchups this year that we're going to look forward to. I spent a segment earlier in the show, Brent, talking about the weekends, you know, that people don't need to, that people should not miss because of how many good games there ought to be or should be on paper, at least looking at them right now. Are there maybe three or five matchups that in your mind could potentially determine how the season plays out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, now, they're not going to determine a lot, but I think even non-conference, Oregon, Georgia, and that's not – they like to pretend that is a neutral site game, and it's not in Atlanta.
Right.
Now, the other reality would be Florida's first two games I think are humongous. With Utah and with Kentucky, and I think the Kentucky game is even more important. Auburn in their first five that are home, people may not realize that. That's amazing. But they've got Penn State, and then they've got Missouri and LSU. So that's going to be big. The Penn State game. To decide, obviously, Alabama-Texas, the second game of the year, I think it's going to be very, very big, too. So that, I mean, that's just some of them kind of off the top of my head as far as where it could go in giving teams momentum or stopping momentum in September.
Yeah, and going back to Auburn's schedule, and the fact that they – you know, they have those five home games. Then they're at Georgia, at Ole Miss, home against Arkansas, at Mississippi State, Texas A&M at home. They get a breather against Western Kentucky before they go to Alabama. And for Auburn fans, I'm sure they wouldn't like to hear this, but last year you start out the year great and you lose your last five games. Is there a scenario here, Brent, where they start off the season 5-0? But they only end up going like 6-6. I don't know how good that would look for Brian Harsin having 2 years back to back where you get off to a ripping start and then everything falls over and you fall flat on your face here at the end of the season again.
Well, that'd be some real danger there, frankly. I mean, particularly when you've got you can almost even throw Missouri in there. To some degree, but this LSU at Georgia, at Ole Miss, Arkansas, at Mississippi State, and A&M, that's as tough as anybody in the country, all in all. I mean, there is no way that they can get through that unscathed. Just too much, frankly. As far as losing players, if you lose a quarterback at that point. But, I mean, here's the thing. It's probably not going to happen. But they really ought to make up their mind if they could keep him regardless. Instead of firing him if they're 6-6 or 7-5, I mean, let's be honest. Probably the best they could do would be 8-4, and frankly, with that schedule, that would say a lot. I'm afraid a swoon would probably cost him his job, but But if that happens, I don't think that's very fair. But we know this game is not fair.
No, it is not. And I think that, as you said, I mean, with how brutal that stretch is, that, you know, fans are going to maybe lay off him a little bit more if they're actually, you know, looking at the schedule and not just focusing on all the losses and as well the administration. Speaking of Auburn, they get votes for the top 25 coaches poll, but they're not in. There's six SEC teams in, Brent: Alabama at 1, Georgia at 3, Texas A&M at 7, Kentucky at 21, Arkansas 23, and Ole Miss 24, but a bevy of others: Tennessee, LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, and South Carolina all getting votes. Do you think any SEC team was maybe shortchanged and ought to be in that top 25 who wasn't?
Probably not at this point. I mean, anybody could rally and do well. I mean, Florida could. Look, if Florida, let's just pretend here a minute, if Florida wins their first two games, they'll be in the top 10, or they would deserve it. I mean, you've got Utah at 8, Kentucky is 21, may even be better in the AP. So and again, I still think LSU is much better than people think it is too. No question, all that could be very different.
So there's one thing that I mean, obviously these polls don't really mean much of anything, but how much do you think, Brent, of these preseason polls are based on perception of a program? I guess, for example, they have Oklahoma at 9 and the best team in the Big 12, even ahead of Baylor, who won the conference championship last year. They've got so many different question marks with that roster and with Brent Venables coming in as a head coach. Do you think a lot of where, whether it be coaches or maybe even this AP poll that we're going to see here soon, a lot of where teams are ranked are kind of based on perception sometimes, as opposed to, this team is actually very, very talented?
Sure it is. And you've got a lot of these that are, I mean, all you baseball is last year, frankly, and who you've got coming back. So if you've got a decent schedule, you've got your quarterback coming back, and you played well last year, you're going to be ranked rather high. That's always been the thing to me is, would be, does your quarterback come back? How many starters do you have? And if you've got, and if you're doing well with that, that's a lot of where you're ranked. And these polls are basically taken from the magazines. That's where this comes from. So, I mean, you've got basically the same amount of teams in the top 10 here than you do the magazines. They're just reshuffled.
And I guess for all the Alabama fans out there, they can be happy because it's no longer a rebuilding season for their team. They're still going to be ranked number one, and the expectation is going to be a national championship. How surprised were you, Brent, at Coach Saban saying that last year was a rebuilding year? Do you think it was out of line, or what exactly was your reaction, I guess, when you first saw that?
No, I thought that was appropriate. I mean, frankly, when you think about them winning the national championship the year before and losing Mac Jones and losing your Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith, and a whole lot others. I think that's probably pretty fair. But I still say his job last year was the best job he's ever done in coaching at Alabama. I mean, you think about all the youth they had and them coming in, and also with what I would say would be a porous defense, you had all that together, and I think you could buy what he's saying, sure.
And you know, as you said, you lose Najee Harris, you have Bryce Young back, but I mean, in him, I think he is, out of all the quarterbacks, I don't know if he is more talented than C.J. Stroud, Brent, but I would say as far as just pure leadership and character, he seems to be a guy that any coach would absolutely kill to have on their football team. Even some of these National Football League coaches would say this guy would be starting right now without question on at least half of these teams in the NFL, because he brings it from a skill perspective. He brings it from a leadership perspective as well.
He's the total package. Yep. And it's amazing how small he is about what he gets accomplished. So he will, if they're able to win the national championship this year, he will go down on record as really one of the favored Alabama quarterbacks in the eyes of the fans. And it's still amazing that they got to the national championship game with as many sacks as were allowed last year by that offensive line.
Yeah, yep, indeed. It is going to be something to watch this year, and I think everybody can cheer Bryce Young on because of how good of a guy he seems to be. Expected to be favorites to win the national championship. He is Brent Beard. Of course, as always, appreciate the time, Brent. You have a fantastic rest of your week, and we will edge closer and closer and closer to week zero in anticipation for this college football season.
Good. Thanks, bud. Take care.